Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Well, I don't have to tell you what's happening in just a couple days. The freeways are already beginning to fill as friends and family hurry from city to city to spend time with the ones they love. The turkey population of this country has definitely declined, and the stores are all decked out in Christmas attire. Yes, it's Thanksgiving. And we want to give you, listener, a chance during the next hour to tell us what you're thankful for. Would you call us at 800-775-4673 and just share, this is what I'm thankful for. This is what I really, really am so glad is happening in my life. We'd like to hear from you. Also, if you would like to say thank you to someone you love, someone you care about, you can do that also on the air, 800-775-4673. 4673. Just call and say, I want to thank Uncle Joe. I want to thank Aunt Mary. I want to thank my brother, my son, my wife. Whatever. Let's hear thanks today. Because Dr. Jennings, I understand that being thankful is actually good for us.
Absolutely. There are multiple studies that have demonstrated the benefits of having a grateful or thankful attitude in life. People who practice being grateful or being thankful in life experience a greater sense of well-being, optimism in life, a sense of satisfaction with their life. They're happier people. They also, but it's not, it doesn't just translate into an emotional state that they feel better. The studies actually show that people who are thankful in life actually attain life goals at a higher rate, and they experience a greater sense of being loved and have greater social relationships. In other words, they get along and they connect better with people, and they have less depression and stress than people who are not thankful.
All right. Well, there you go, listener. This is a good reason for you to call us right now and share what's on your mind, the thankfulness on your mind, because apparently it's actually very good for you. It's good for your health. Your immune system, I understand, gets a boost even from being thankful. So here's the number, 800-775-4673. Call and share what you're thankful about and be thankful to someone, and we'll be thankful to you for doing that on our special Thanksgiving program today, 800-775-4673. Now, I have to say, Dr. Jennings, after you've said that, I realize that there are some barriers to thankfulness out there. What are some of the main obstacles that we tend to, and I have to be careful how I word this because I know you're listening very closely to what I say, that we tend to put in our way that keeps us from being thankful. Did I say that right?
Well, I like the way you said it, and I think we'll spend a little time on this today because it's important to spend on, but I do want to spend a good bit of time on thankfulness and the benefits of thankfulness and maybe even some steps on how to cultivate a thankful attitude.
Good.
But I think one of the greatest obstacles is simply habit, that we are not in the habit of thinking thankfully. We have developed a culture of cynics and critics. If you look at television news, when was the last time you turned on the TV and you saw a thankful program? Haven't we trained ourselves to find the negatives, to search for the negatives, to find the defects, to find what's wrong? That even in our schooling, when you get a 93 on your paper, where do you focus? Hey, I got 93, and 93 of my answers were correct, or do you focus on those 7 ones you missed? And in fact, the feedback is these, and there's a place for that because we want to find where we can improve and grow and so forth, but sometimes that desire to excel, that desire to improve, that desire to grow, causing us to focus on areas that need further improvement, can become so all-consuming that we miss all the good that we're doing. we miss the health, the growth, the benefit, the positive things we have to be thankful for. And so it's much healthier to grow in the atmosphere where we maintain a thankfulness for all that we have while we're still looking to improve the areas that need to be improved.
You know, when I think about this, we really do train up children to be very cynical about themselves. When you're 5 years old and you say, "Mommy, I made a 90 on my test." Well, good for you. But that same child grown up to be a teenager, "I made a 90 on my test." Well, why didn't you make a 95? We tend to be actually training our children to be more cynical.
I think that's true. And it's not just in their own experience at school, at ball games where they play, the strikeouts, do better. Let's practice. I mean, there's this sense of it's never quite good enough that we do, but also in what they hear and observe. How many times after church, sitting around the table, is there the conversation of criticism?
Yeah. You know, when Dr. Jennings, I'm sure you've met movie stars, I mean, celebrities, these people who are on the silver screen. When you meet them face to face, it's a very different person than you see up on the screen. They look different. They look human. They look normal. They look like you and me. We tend to have this Hollywood version of what perfection is, and when we don't measure up, we can't be happy with ourselves. But what they don't understand is all the makeup and the lighting and the camera angles and everything that goes into making that picture. We have a false sense of what really good is. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. And that I think that's a connected thing to our thankfulness aspect, where we have expectations that if we don't meet, then we're not thankful because we don't believe we're living up to an expectation. And the issue there you're describing is having false expectations. So having false expectations can be a barrier to thankfulness, because when our expectations are false, we never achieve them. And so we're always feeling disgruntled or dissatisfied rather than thankful. So that's another barrier. Habits, culture that trains us to be critical, setting false expectations that are unachievable. What else you got there, Charles?
I'm just wondering, what else? Why did we get this? Why is it important for us to be better than we are? Is this a God-given thing? Is this a mutation or something?
I think that what you're describing is actually a selfish dynamic where we spend our time inherently looking and comparing ourselves to others, and it's the desire to promote self and advance self and have self be above or better or more admirable or more beautiful or more liked than others. So I think it's really part of the infection of sin that drives us to compare ourselves with others. And when we don't measure up in our own eyes, then we either are critical to ourselves, or more often we're critical to others, and we begin making fun or running other people down so that we can somehow feel better about ourselves. These are all inherently negative behaviors that we can get caught up into. And our culture, and often, you know, think about school and adolescence and high school, and how and in the media and the movies and the teen programming, and how they really kind of glorify this ability to make yourself better by cutting someone else down. Most of the sitcoms are involved around somehow mocking or making fun of someone.
Absolutely. Well, then let's see if we can start on the road of fixing this, Dr. Jennings. We have these expectations that are really not realistic, because we don't have a Hollywood crew following us around, and we don't have perfection that can be manufactured. We look in the mirror, and that's just us. There we are. What are we supposed to think when we look in that mirror and see ourselves, and we're far from the perfect being we want to be?
Well, I think the first problem is you're looking at self. I mean, this is the problem. When you become self-focused, you become egocentric, you become more narcissistic, because we're imperfect, the more intensely you look at self, the more capable you're going to be at finding defects in yourself, because we all got them. I mean, the real principle of scripture is fix your eyes on Christ, not fix your eyes on self. So we don't want to become self-focused navel gazers. I mean, there's only discouragement there, because we're all from our physical body that's aging to our mental capacities that have limitations in knowledge and make errors. I mean, we are all defective in some way, and to just become completely self-focused misses the entire point. And so you'll find, as we go through, people that are grateful are not grateful about self. The gratefulness, the whole idea of gratefulness is you're grateful for something outside of self. Gratefulness turns the mind away from self. I'm grateful for God who has blessed me. I'm grateful for my brother who went out of his way to come help me. I'm grateful for my friend who did this. So we're actually looking away from self and recognizing some sense of gratitude, some sense of thankfulness when another being has reached out to benefit us or help us or bless us. And that hits a chord in our heart that causes us to have a sense of warmth, affirmation, care, regard for others.
Oh, that is an important message, especially this Thanksgiving season. As we turn our thoughts to things that we're supposed to be thankful for, and there are some people who say, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, maybe not internally, but externally we do, because we all have blessings. We're breathing. We can see things. We can hear things. We can feel things. We can dress ourselves. There are things that we can be thankful for.
And this is hugely important because a sense of well-being and happiness is not defined primarily by the circumstances we're in, but by how we experience and process those circumstances. And so if we experience and focus just on the negatives, what I've lost, what I don't have anymore, how life is unfair, how I never get things to go my way, it's always blah, blah, blah. If that's your focus, then life becomes very gloomy, dark, pessimistic, and discouraging. If, on the other hand, in face of adversity, you can still find the silver lining to the cloud. You can still find positives to look forward to. You can allow for possibilities beyond just the immediate for a larger later outcome that's going to be good. And this is the Bible principle that we find ability to give thanks in all things. And if we can develop that attitude, then I want to come back. I know we're going to have a break coming up here in a minute, but I want to come back and talk about additionally some of the benefits that we get from having a thankful heart. And then we can talk some more about ways to develop a thankful mindset or heart.
Yeah.
And I hope our audience will call in today and tell us give thanks. What are you thankful for this week? I mean, this is an opportunity to practice. Don't just hear what we're saying on the show today. Don't just understand it cognitively. It doesn't do us any good to understand something cognitively if we don't put it into practice. So let's give thanks today. I'm thankful for this show, and I'm thankful for you, Charles, for all the hard work you do to help this show be a success each week.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jennings. I was just thinking outside the box here myself, the box of me, and I'm thankful for my wife and how she takes care of me. Is that being selfish if I say it that way? How she is a wonderful influence on my life. Oh, here I am sounding selfish. Is it selfish?
No.
Okay, all right. I'm feeling really, nervous here about how I can say this. We'll work that out and be back with Dr. Jennings on our return. Number's 800-775-4673. I want to be thankful the way God wants me to be thankful. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
In his book, The Heart of Health, now available on heartwiseministries.org, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "Some estimate that 90% of cardiovascular disease is acquired. That's right. The painful truth is we give the disease to ourselves by the choices we make during a lifetime. We create the chronic condition, bringing about the acute event by placing endless stressors on our systems. In my patient David's case, he didn't even know he had a problem until that early Wednesday morning when it felt like an elephant sat down on his chest. I thank God that after this experience, he began his search for what was at the heart of his problem, at the heart of health. When he was faced with death, he started to evaluate the reason why. To learn more about health and healing from a biblical perspective and to read a sample chapter from The Heart of Health by Dr. James Markham, visit heartwiseministries.org.
We live in a fast-paced, stressed-out world. Is there any way to escape life's intense pressure? Hi, this is Charles Mills, and I'd like to offer you some hope. From my office, I can look out and see the deep blue of the sky and the rich greens of the plants and trees. Scientists tell us that these colors foster a sense of peace and tranquility. Isn't it amazing that God would create the world with a built-in stress reliever for our troubled minds? In a similar way, our wise Creator has designed a spiritual refuge for us. It's found in taking time each day to immerse ourselves in His Word. I'd like to offer you a free series of Bible study lessons that can help you establish a pattern of daily Bible study. It's called Discover, and you can receive the first of these beautiful lessons by calling 800-775-4673. Color your world with messages of hope, peace, and assurance. Ask for Discover when you call 800-775-4673. 4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings, and I'm learning important things today, listener. I hope you are too. We're having a program today about being thankful, and we would like for you to share your thankfulness with us at 800-775-4673. Just tell us what you're thankful about and who you're thankful about, or if you want to thank someone. That's good, because what I'm learning from the first 15 minutes of this program already is that our thankfulness needs to be centered on things other than ourselves, even if those things are benefiting us. I'm thankful for sunlight. Sunlight benefits me. I'm thankful for air and for good food. Those benefit me. I'm thankful for my wife. This benefits me, but it's not me I'm thankful for. It's outside of me. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Jennings?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course we're thankful for things that have a benefit to us. I mean, we're not thankful for cavities. I mean, we're not thankful for broken legs. Okay.
Oh.
We're thankful for the things that actually are blessings, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it's selfish. I'm thankful for good food that is healthy and nutritious. I'm thankful for a good night's sleep. I'm also thankful for the truth that I've discovered about God, that He is exactly as Jesus revealed Him to be. And some of the things I was raised with, I'm so thankful they're not true. I'm thankful that God is not a tyrant. He's not a policeman in the sky waiting to get me. He's not some great judiciary in the sky waiting to mete out punishments upon me. He is a loving, kind, beneficent being who only wants to save and heal me. That is such a joy that it brings. And I'm thankful that God has given me opportunities to share the truth about Him and how the knowledge of Him is actually healing for our brain and bodies and our relationships. In the class that I teach each week, in this radio program, in our online ministry at comeandreason.com, and also our Facebook ministry, Come and Reason, at Facebook. I mean, we have so many outlets to tell people, and people are really hearing this message. I'm thankful for the opportunities. You know, I was able to go to Germany a month ago, and we're going to be going back in April to do more public presentations to present these things. And we're now we're working out the details to be able to go to Australia next year sometime as well. Those details are in the works. And so the Lord is opening opportunities to share these truths that actually result in real transformation of lives here and now. And I'm just thankful for that.
Now, Dr. Jennings, you were telling me during the break something else you were thankful for, the number of hits that you're receiving on your website per day. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. On our website daily, we are averaging 3,500 views or hits on our website every day for people coming to check out the materials we have there. And we're very thankful for that as well.
Absolutely. That website is www.comeandreason.com.
Yeah, that's the website, and our Facebook page is just Come and Reason at Facebook, on the Facebook.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for what you've been doing on Facebook, Dr. Jennings. You've been putting some paraphrase up there. These are your take on Scripture based on this wonderful overview of God as a loving God, not a punitive God. And I'm thankful for that. I want to say that right now. I'm thankful for that.
And I also want to tell you I'm thankful for Dean Scott, who is our technical advisor and who does all of our website management and sound for our class. And we wouldn't be able to bring all this stuff to people if he wasn't working behind the scenes to make it possible.
Amen. Absolutely. And he's right there right now in the studio copying some programs over to put on the website. And I want to remind you, listener, that you can listen to past programs of Simple Solutions right there on the website, Come and Reason. As soon as Dean gets them up, you'll have some of the latest shows here available. Last week's show was awesome. I want to recommend last week's show to you to go see that. So anyway, check that out. I'm feeling so, you know, I have just changed my whole attitude. I am feeling so thankful here because you're telling me where to place my thankfulness, where to look for it. And a lot of people miss this, Dr. Jennings.
Yes, and science actually shows that people who have a healthy, grateful attitude and thank people actually not only experience greater happiness, they can enhance that sense of happiness by more than 25%. They actually can measure this just by having a thankful heart. And the duration of this is not a fleeting thing. I'm thankful, and then it's here and it's gone. But they've done studies and they follow up people who've expressed thankfulness that you can follow that up. And it persists for many, many months after it really is taking the time to express thankfulness about something that has been a blessing in your life. And you can actually continue to experience benefit from that just from a one-time really expression of thankfulness. So if you continue this ongoing, it just has ongoing benefits through life.
I read something in Time magazine just last night that said that people who just sit and smile have an increase of a certain hormone that makes them feel better. Just the act of smiling. What's that connection? How does that work, Dr. Jennings?
I didn't read that study, so you probably have more information on what that hormone was, because I didn't read that study.
We'll find that, yes.
But optimistic individuals report faster recovery and better quality of life after cardiac intervention, such as bypass surgery and heart attacks, than people who don't have a thankful heart in the face of those things. Mm-hmm. So having a thankful, grateful heart, I'm grateful for the hospital. I'm grateful for that God had an ambulance that could get me to the hospital. I'm grateful for the doctors who did such a good job, or the nurses, or whatever. Having a grateful heart in the experience results in a more rapid recovery and better outcomes than somebody who's going, I can't believe this happened to me. I mean, why did I get this? I can't believe this is so painful. This isn't right. Having that pessimistic attitude has a worse outcome.
What about those who think, well, if I get too happy, the other shoe is going to fall, and I'm going to have to pay for this happiness with a bunch of sadness? Is that just like mental when someone does that?
That shows that somewhere they've been conditioned with some unpleasant things that they haven't come to understanding about. Something bad has happened in their life. They don't have a sense of what it is, and so they've chalked it up to the fates. They've chalked it up to God who punishes. They chalk it up to their bad luck. They try to make sense out of it, but they haven't resolved the painful events, and so they live in fear of another painful event. And this is a defense mechanism. They don't want to get hurt again like they did before, so they don't really allow themselves to really experience the joys of life. They always put a tempering measure on it, a psychological guard. Oh, I won't get too excited because it's just a matter of time before it's taken away from you. It's kind of like Puddle Glum in the Chronicles of Narnia. If you remember Puddle Glum in Narnia, he had this pessimistic, negative, always seeing the downside, and it's a defense that prevents us from actually feeling pain when things go bad.
And those that say, you know, if I'm feeling good, I'm not preparing for feeling bad. When bad comes along, I won't be ready for it. What do you say to those people?
I'm not sure I just followed that question.
Okay. If you're feeling good, you're not sitting around really preparing for feeling bad. You're not ready for it. When feeling bad comes along, you were too busy feeling good to prepare yourself for feeling bad. I've heard people talk about this and say this very thing. I don't want bad things to take me by surprise. I want to be ready for them, and I want to be prepared for them by being just really in an attitude of defending myself and ready to take this.
Actually, that's counterintuitive, because that type of attitude actually causes one to take your mind and focus on the potential threats to your world, the potential things that could cause you to be hurt. And so you start seeing the negatives in life rather than being thankful for the positives. And it actually causes your life to be less joyful, less happy, less fulfilling, less thankful, because you're always in the sense of anticipatory pain of some kind. So it'd be kind of like living your life in a foxhole, wondering when the next mortar shelling is going to hit. And you never can really unwind and relax. Whereas the person who has a thankful heart and will deal with the problems if and when they come is able to actually experience a much more fulfilling life.
And you may not realize while you're in the foxhole that the war has ended 20 years ago, and there's really nothing to be afraid of anymore. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. We want thankful people calling us today and sharing why they're thankful. We want to hear from you. What is it that is just lighting your fire right now? What is making you feel happy this
Thanksgiving
season?
I'm actually wondering in our economic state of our country if there are very few thankful people this year. I'm wondering if people out there are having trouble finding something to be thankful for. Can you be thankful in the face of economic difficulties? Can you be thankful if you've got a sickness to deal with? Can you be thankful if you've got a broken heart or a broken relationship? Is there still something to be thankful for? Can we find thanks in all things? Or, as you know, the scripture says, that Paul says that we to rejoice or give thanks in all things. It also says that all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, but all things can work together for good. And there's a lot of bad things that happen. But bad things, if you trust God and follow His methods in your life, the outcomes will ultimately turn out good in the long run, not always necessarily in the immediate.
Because we keep saying to ourselves, I'll be thankful just as long as something that is thankful comes along. But that's the wrong attitude to have, right?
Well, when you say that, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'll be thankful when thankful things come along. But what that says, having that openness to be thankful for the next thankful thing is good. But but if it closes down your ability to see the things that you should be thankful for or could be thankful for, let's put it that way, could be thankful for now, then that's doing yourself a disservice. Because in our life, we have much to be thankful for. It is true that at painful experience tend to limit our capacity to appreciate that, and so it takes a purposeful effort. As an example I gave a week or so ago, if you stub your toe, and we've all done that, and in the moment of that intense pain, while we're rocking and on the couch holding our foot, it's hard for us at that moment to say, I'm so thankful for my healthy hands and my good vision and the healthy digestive system that I have and my kids that are doing good at school. It's really hard to focus on that thankfulness in the moment of that intense pain. So there's a reality that pain can make it difficult. Acute pain, of course, more so, as we talked about last week. But still, if it's a chronic situation, a chronic stressful situation, it's very important that you begin exercising the mental discipline to say, okay, in the face of this trial, in the face of this difficulty, what do I still have to be thankful for? And if you can do that, it will significantly change your perspective and fortify your mind to handle the difficulty you're involved in.
Now, we mentioned in a past program Job from the Bible. Was this someone who had learned this lesson and could be thankful even in the midst of all that awfulness?
You know, I don't know that there was a lot of thankfulness on his part. There was a lot of confidence and trust. I didn't hear, and we're not talking about this foolishness that people can say, oh, thank you that my children were killed in the storm, God, that killed 10 of my children, and thank you that I have boils all over my body. I'm so thankful. No, that would be a foolishness. We're not talking about thankfulness in things which you're really not thankful for. That is foolishness. Job was not thankful his kids died. Job was not thankful he lost his wealth. Job was not thankful that he had boils all over his body, nor should he have been. Those were not things to be thankful for. What Job could have been thankful for was that God still loved him, and that if he had a perspective, and maybe he got it later, that in the face of this difficulty, in the context of a war between Christ and Satan, that Job could stand firm and stand true to God's cause, and that he was thankful that for his faithfulness and loyalty to God in the face of an attack against him to try to get him to turn against God.
And we have to have a proper image of God in our brain for that to happen in our lives. Am I right?
There's no question. If Job would have thought of God as many people today do, he would have thought God was doing all this to him. In fact, some of the servants came and said the fire of God fell, and Job was even tempted to say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he was struggling even in his own mind to understand God's role in what was happening. Fortunately, the scriptures pull back the curtain and let us see that God didn't take anything from him. That was the destroyer who was doing that.
Right. And that's something else we can learn, too, that the loss that we have in this world usually doesn't come from God, nor does it ever come from God. Let's find out on our return. What part does God play in the disasters of our life? Interesting question, because a lot of times we're blaming God, and that does not make us very happy. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. What are you happy about, listener? Come on, let's hear from you. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here is another story of hope from Adventist World Radio.
My name is Benjamin Schoen, president of Adventist World Radio. We've been amazed by God's work in Afghanistan. Recently, a relief worker told me that many Afghanis have great interest in learning about Christ, but are afraid to purchase Bibles. Instead, they listen to Christian radio programs. Adventist World Radio broadcasts to Afghanistan in the Dari, Uyghur, and Arabic languages, allowing us to reach a large number of the population. The response has been incredible. Just one example is a letter we received from an orphaned teenage refugee saying, "Jesus is now the hope I cling to in my sea of pain. How can I become a Christian?"
Adventist World Radio shares the hope of Christ with millions of people every day. For more information, visit awr.org.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? Of course, it's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? As the saying goes, when you have your health, you have everything. Maintaining a healthy weight is an important part of a happy and healthy life. People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for serious health issues and illnesses such as cancer. An easy way to see if you're at risk is to check your BMI number or body mass index. It's a simple calculation determined by your height and your weight. The lower the number, the lower the risk. It's that simple. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? For more information and to check your BMI number, visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
And welcome back to the program. Our phone lines are open for your thankful calls. We're being thankful here during our Thanksgiving program. 800-775-4673 is the number. Give us a call and share with us why you are thankful today. It's good for you. It's actually good for you. You can raise your immune system. You can help your heart. All kinds of good things, as Dr. Jennings has pointed out, will happen to you when you have that thankful attitude. Dr. Jennings, help us along. Some of us aren't feeling too thankful right about now. How can we be moved toward that wonderful goal?
Well, as we think about thankfulness, there's components of this that really we must engage in order to experience the full benefit of having thankfulness. The one aspect of it is just a mental awareness and appreciation internal to ourselves that we are thankful and appreciative to whatever it is that has happened that we're thankful for. That alone doesn't bring us the full benefits, health benefits, mental well-being benefits of thankfulness. That appreciation the next step should lead us to a sense of positive regard or appreciation or care or compassion or some call goodwill toward whomever has blessed us. So we're appreciative and thankful, and then that leads to a sense of an outward moving affection towards those who have blessed us. That then leads to behavioral change on our part, where we speak differently, we act differently, we actually seek to express our appreciation, our thankfulness to those who we actually experience thankfulness toward. So it's not just an internal, all by myself, I'm thankful, and I'm sitting in my room by myself meditating on my thankfulness. That leads to a sense of, hey, care and compassion and regard and goodwill toward another, and then that leads us to reach out and bless others with behavior, a card, an act of kindness, a good word, an expression of appreciation, flowers, a gift, helping them with their lawn, something to bless others. And you see that this then, it begins that circle of love we talked about, God's kingdom, where as we respond back in kind with our expressions of appreciation, affirmation, affection towards the other, that still is in them, appreciation for us, and we then appreciate them back. And it's a never-ending circle of affirmation, appreciation, goodwill towards the other, which builds social bonds, which builds community, which builds relationship. Thus, people who live in a state of thankfulness have healthier relationships. They have healthier social connections. They're more successful in society and in life. And this positive social networking, positive relationships, affirmation from others is a significant psychological barrier to difficulty. It's a protector, if you will, that gives us a sense of resilience that protects us from the life stressors, because we know we're connected and affirmed and we have people we can call on. So this process of thankfulness is not something we just do all by ourselves, but it really needs to flow from us towards the expression of our thankfulness in healthy ways towards others. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And if we don't flow it, are there some bad things that happen if we do not let that thankfulness flow out of us?
Well, we don't experience the fullness of it. We don't experience the connectedness. And I'm going to suggest if we don't allow it to flow, that can actually lead to fear and doubt. I'm thankful, but did they really mean it? I'm thankful, but would they do it again? I'm thankful, but, because we're not making those connections that we experience, that they really like us, they really appreciate us, we really are in a relationship of mutual care and concern.
It's just no wonder that that God tells us to love one another. This is a reason not only for our psyche, but for our health and for our community. Loving other people is a demonstration of how we feel. Am I right?
You're exactly right. And science actually shows that grateful people, people who are thankful, not only have these healthier social networks, they express themselves, they do for others, but they also take better care of themselves. They exercise more, they eat more healthy, they are more likely to go to their doctor's appointments, they get exams, they're usually more mentally alert, they're more enthusiastic, they have a greater sense of determination, they pay better attention, they have better energy, they actually get better sleep, they have more fitful sleep, they're not as restless and edgy and uneasy, they have a greater sense of contentment with life, and as you've mentioned, their immunity is better, they have less headaches, they have less pain. I mean, all of this happens because when we have a thankful heart, we have connected and healthy social relationships, we have less activation of our fear circuits, which reduces inflammatory factors throughout our brain. We engage in healthier activities. It has just a cascade, a ripple effect of good things happening to us when we live in a state of thankfulness.
Dr. Jennings, let's imagine that there is a gentleman listening to this program right now. Let's call him Matt, okay? He's sitting there listening to the program, and let's say he lives out west someplace, and he has his arms crossed over his chest and his ankles crossed, and he's saying, I don't feel happy at all. There's nothing in my life to make me feel happy. You're telling me about being thankful, and that'll bring me happiness and closer to God, blah, 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 but I don't feel it. There's nothing in my life that will make me feel thankful at all, even on Thanksgiving Day. How does that gentleman, how does Matt begin to make the journey from that position to where you and God want him to be?
Well, what you just described is somebody who is focusing and choosing, voluntarily choosing, to focus on the negative experiences of life, both the mood experiences and potentially negative circumstances that reinforce the negative moods. And just like I was describing a positive cycle of good things happening, we can develop a negative cycle that reinforces itself. We have down moods, we focus on negative facts or even imaginary scenarios that we create in our mind about that are negative, which only make the negative moods more intense, which only cause us to focus on more negative things, and it's a negative cycle down. We can do that too. So how do you break that cycle? You have to stop back and say, wait a minute, what is actually truth here? Okay, I may have some problems, but Is there anything in my life that I can truly be thankful for? And start with the truth and say, yes, it is true. It may be historic. I'm thankful that I had a mom who loved me, or I'm thankful that I have food. I'm thankful that I live in America. I'm thankful that sunshine. It can be small things, but true thankfulness. And I'm going to tell you what thankfulness is not. This is not thankfulness. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Thank you. This is not thankfulness. The mumbling thank yous that we get and societal interactions are not thankfulness. The thankfulness, genuine thankfulness, is a heart issue. And it requires investment of yourself to express yourself and let yourself be known to another that your heart has been touched by another. Now, it can include the words, but it's much more than the words. Thank you. You see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. As a matter of fact, I would think that when we are truly giving thanks, we identify what we're thankful for. Instead of saying, you know, thank you, Dr. Jennings, I say, thank you for showing me this important lesson in my life, Dr. Jennings. There's a very big difference between those two statements.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thankfulness, okay. I get emails and letters from people all over the world expressing thankfulness to our program, the books, the lessons that I've done that have helped them see God in a new way. And they haven't just said thank you. They've taken the time to give an investment of themselves and write a letter and express their thankfulness and express how their lives are different and how they're applying it to their lives. And this is thankfulness.
Okay, so I'm learning something here. When I want to give someone thankfulness and I want that to come from my heart, and it should, then I really need to identify what it is I'm thankful about when I tell the person thank you. Thank you for doing XYZ.
And it's expression of giving of oneself as part of the thankfulness.
Yes.
When you're really thankful,
okay.
For instance, in the scriptures, God actually gave a prescription. He talked about the thank offering. A thank offering. You see, when you're really thankful and you give of yourself, and you know, if somebody's really done something that's totally blessed your life, you don't want to just say thanks. You want to give something to really show your thanks. I have a friend one of my friends from Germany, and he was telling me that he was, it traveled to Portugal recently and had just got a brand new iPhone, very expensive, was all excited about it. And he was sitting in a restaurant there, and he was playing on it and doing all these things and eating. And then he goes out to his car, drives over to some other place, and gets there, and he goes to grab his phone, and he can't find it. His phone's nowhere to be found. He's searching his car this way and that way. He's panicking. He drives back to where he was, and he's searching, and he goes where he was, and he's searching all over where he was. And one of the waiters comes up and said, are you searching for an iPhone? And he goes, yeah. And he takes him up to where it's at, and he goes, here it is. He said he was so thankful. He was so thankful. He gave the guy a hug, and he pulled out and gave him a big tip. Okay. Cause he was so thankful. Well, there is an example. See, when he wanted to bless the guy who didn't just put it in his pocket and walk away with it.
Right.
You see, when we're really thankful, how about when we're thankful to God? Do we ever say, thank you, God, for what you did? Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And you know what? I want to show my thanks. And here's how I'm going to give of my time. I'm going to go on a mission trip. I want to help somebody else. I'm going to help my neighbor. I'm going to, as you've done it, one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So I'm going to feed some hungry folks this Thanksgiving. I'm going to give to my church's outreach ministry. I want to thank you, Lord. And here, it's not just words, Lord. I want to show you how thankful I am.
Boy, Thanksgiving is taking on a whole new color for me right now. This is wonderful, Dr. Jennings. You're identifying how to be thankful, not just to be thankful and how important it is, but how to do that. And I'm hearing you say that a thankful heart is a giving heart, is a heart that reaches out. It doesn't just say thank you. It says thank you for, identifies it, and then responds in some way. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to give some specific examples of how people can express their thankfulness. But first, how do we develop a thankful heart? Maybe we don't have a thankful heart. Maybe we've been inculcated with our culture, with our tradition, with our family of being a pessimistic person. Maybe it's just our natural reflexive mind that we just see the negatives in life. I know people like this. Do you know people like this, Charles?
Oh yeah.
And if you have that history growing up in families that are pessimistic, you've been living for 55, 65, 75 years, and you're, Mr. Scrooge or Miss Scrooge, Mr. Glum, and you just see things in this way, it can still change. But it will not change without effort. See, many people who get in these habit patterns, they aren't willing to put the effort in to make a change. They just are waiting for the osmosis of life to change. One day I'll wake up and I'll have a thankful heart one day. I pray every day for a thankful heart, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to change my heart. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to engage the powers that God has given us in governance of ourselves to choose that which is good, to choose to find the things that are blessing and thankful, and to resist the negative thought patterns that are so destructive to us. And so things that you can do, I would suggest actually purposely sitting down and making a list of 3, 5, 10 things that you are genuinely thankful for. On your way home from work, think at the end of the day, what am I thankful for today? Now, you can have things you're thankful for all the time. I'm thankful for God all the time. I'm thankful for my spouse who loves me all the time. But there are some things that are situational that happened today. Today, I'm thankful this happened. Hey, I'm thankful I got the first parking spot. Didn't have to walk in the rain right into the covered parking spot there. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that parking spot. Okay. I mean, there can be things just for today we're thankful for. That's okay. But the genuine list, the list of things you're thankful for has to have meaning to you. It may not mean something to someone else, but it has to be something that touches your heart that you're really thankful for. It can't be contrived. It can't be made up. I'm thankful for missionaries who witnessed the truth around the globe, Lord. You know, this high and mighty thankfulness does nothing. It has no impact on your heart. Okay? Unless the missionary was the one who brought you to the Lord, and then you are thankful because it changed your life. You say, now you're thankful for that missionary. This is the difference. So first thing, begin making a list every day. Just practice on the way home. 3 things I'm thankful for today. And then, after you start having that thankful heart, then we want to develop ways we can express our thankful heart. How we can take that list and make it applicable and meaningful, where we can move ourselves to living thankful lives, not just having a thankful mindset, but living thankful lives. And that's where the real power comes in, living a thankful life.
I had to chuckle while you were talking there. I know someone that once said that Christmas is the season where you buy gifts you can't afford to give to people you don't like. This person has the wrong attitude for Christmas. There is a very not thankful heart there, and that gave a good example of what not to do around
Christmas. Actually, though, he might have been truthful. Because this, and if I have patience like that, and I tell him, listen, be truthful. If you have people that you don't really enjoy and appreciate, it's a fraud. It's a lie to send them presents and pretend like you do.
Really? So, oh my goodness.
Isn't
all
it?
Right.
Isn't it a fraud? Isn't it a lie to send presents to people that you really don't like and appreciate and pretend like you like them?
So, well, let's find out. We're going to talk about this on the other end of this break here, Dr. Jennings. You opened a Pandora's box.
Well,
here.
And I also want to, we talk about that, but I also want to give some specifics on how we can live that thankful life after the break.
Yes, more. Okay. We have the list of thankful things for the day. Express our thankful heart by living a thankful life. And what else can we do? We'll find out on our return. Phone lines are open, people. Hello, 800-775-4673. Give me something to be thankful for. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I knew right away this fatal accident was caused by a driver who had fallen asleep behind the wheel.
Trooper Buck Carter is a 17-year veteran of the state police.
I've learned to spot the driver who has fallen asleep. There's no skid marks. They don't try to stop or even slow down. They never see it coming.
Sleep deprivation is a serious problem both on and off the highway. Today, two-thirds of all Americans don't get the sleep doctors recommend. 70 million have problems sleeping. And when it comes to the consequences, they never see it coming. Inadequate sleep has been linked to health and safety risks, even premature death. But new treatments are helping millions get the sleep they need. So talk to your doctor or take our free risk assessment on the web at www.sleepfoundation.org. Sleep deprivation. It's real, it's dangerous, and it's more treatable than ever.
Let's spend just a moment with that last statement you made there about sometimes it is better for us not to give to people who we don't like at Christmas time. I thought thankful hearts are supposed to just be really evangelistic in nature.
It depends on what you're giving. I said if you're living a deception, if you're pretending to be all positive towards somebody that you really don't like, is that really a helpful thing? I know in families there's some of this stuff goes on, and it might be that it's just a moderate, you don't really have a great fondness for, but you know, it's no big deal, so you go ahead and just go to avoid the conflicts. I said we all do that. Yeah, I understand. Sure. That but I heard you describing something more destructive than that. I heard you describing a dynamic in which there are really unhealthy issues going on between individuals, and yeah, those issues are being buried underneath the surface and not being dealt with. And I think it's healthier to actually deal with them or live the realities of what the circumstances are. If you've got a person in your family who is just obnoxious and difficult to deal with and offends everyone and makes everyone's holiday a miserable time, is it really better for everyone in the family to change the way they interact, to walk on eggshells, to allow this one individual to destroy the holidays for everybody else? Or would it be better for the family to say, look, you know, we're thankful for all these things. Well, if you want to be part of it, we'd love to have you, but you need to have a cheerful and upbeat and if you're negative, go get in therapy, deal with your problems. But you know, we're not going to pretend that it's okay to be this way anymore.
I like it. I like it. I really do. And I'll be thankful if that happens. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And I've actually and at times have had opportunities to do such interventions, and I can tell you it's very stressful for the people involved. I'm talking for the rest of the family members standing in the room as we do this.
I'm sure.
But it almost always works out for the good, because the person who is having these problems really changes their behavior, because they don't like the tension that results from such an interaction. It really seems to change the dynamic and the flow of the events. But
okay, all right.
Yeah,
well, we just wanted to get off on that a little bit.
I just find that truth is healing. Truth spoken in love, that's the key. Truth spoken in love is beneficial and helpful. Truth spoken in order to hurt is not beneficial and helpful.
Mm. We could do a whole show on just that. Let's do that sometime. Okay, back to our topic today, a thankful mind. Thanksgiving coming up. You've identified two steps that we can take to begin having that thankful mind, making a list of what things we're thankful for on a daily basis, or maybe even a weekly basis, what we're thankful for, expressing thankfulness. I know, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for these things. What else can we do, Dr. Jennings?
Well, specific things that we can do to begin living a thankful life. And the root, of course, is that it's going to take some investment of self, some giving of self. I'm just going to give some examples, but the way to do this is unlimited only by the imagination and creativity of the people who are trying to express their thankfulness. But sending a thank you note, detailing the basis of the thankfulness and the reason why you're thankful, takes time, doesn't take a great deal of time, but it does take time. And it is a gesture that has meaning, and not only blesses the person you're sending the note to, but inadvertently or simultaneously, you are blessed in the process. Meeting with people, if you have the opportunity to meet with people and sit down and tell them why it is that you are thankful, what it is that they have done that has blessed your life, to just communicate that directly can be a significant way to express and live thankfulness. Taking time to in a store, someone has been particularly helpful while you're traveling, a stewardess or a flight attendant has been particularly beneficial. Taking time to write a note to the manager to let them name that person by name, to let them know how they made a difficult circumstance much more endurable for you. These are things that can be very beneficial to the person, but also it's a way for you to live a thankful life. Reserving time. If you're in staff meetings and you're a leader at a business organization, reserving time to express appreciation for jobs well done for the people who are doing exceptional work, and how that has been a positive thing for the company or for you. These are things you can do as well. Of course, awards that show appreciation for excellence. These are things you can do as well. Letting coworkers know how much you enjoy them. And it can be small things like, hey, you know what? I really appreciate that when I come in, you always got a smile on your face. That just, you know, when sometimes I come in feeling stressed, feeling gloomy, and I see your smile, it just kind of brightens my day. These are ways to live thankful. I'm thankful for your smile, and I'm letting you know about it. These types of things. And of course, there needs to be time daily that we do take time to express our thankfulness to God. God, I'm thankful for, and you begin telling God what you're thankful for. I often even recommend that when you start your devotions or prayers, that before you get to all the Christmas list wants that you have for God to do for you, that you instead express to Him the things you're thankful for and appreciate. And hopefully, as your spiritual life grows, you're expressing thanks for more than just what He has done or just what He's given, but you're expressing thanks for who He is. And the fact that He's a part of your life.
You know, I just want to go back one real quick here, helping us, saying thank you to the coworker. Maybe I'm wrong here, but if a guy says to a guy, you know, I really like your smile, thank you for smiling so nicely when I come to work, that may be misconstrued. Is there something that guys can say to guys that would do the same thing here? I like your attitude, you know, I like your car. What can we say that's a guy thing?
Oh, come on, Charles.
I'm not going to tell a guy I like his smile.
You can, of course you can. You can walk in and but you just say it in a different way. You walk in and say, hey, you know what? I love your upbeat attitude. Every day I come in and you're upbeat, you're positive, you have a smile on your face. So you can put it right in there.
All right. Okay. I like that better.
Watching
out for my audience.
Yeah. But you say, hey, I like your upbeat attitude. You're positive. You got a smile on your face. Life seems, you know, you just seem to bring a good atmosphere to the whole work environment. And it's enthusiastic and I like it.
All right. A high five.
Now, is somebody going to take that the wrong way?
Not a high five, no.
I'm talking about what I just said, and I threw the smile in there.
No, that sounds good. You put a smile in. I like the fact that you're smiling and ready to go, a good can-do attitude. That seems to be a little bit more manly. Maybe I'm just hung up on gender stuff. I don't know. That could possibly be. I don't know. And what else can we do other than being thankful to God? What's next on the list?
I think that's kind of the overall. Again, it's limited by imagination, so why don't you use your imagination and think of some things that you can do? I mean, I was just giving some examples. I wasn't trying to be exhaustive. We want to include expressions of thankfulness to both others and to God. And that's the point. And just some examples. So do you have any examples that you found?
I do. I'm liking this. I'm trying to think of how I can be thankful to the people in my life. And I'll do this. And our phone lines are open. Listener, if you want to join in, you can certainly do that. 800-775-4673. We have a few moments left on the program and we can put you in there to give you a little thankfulness. I can say, Dr. Jennings, I am so thankful when I do this program with you that I learn things that benefit me, that benefit my family, that benefit my community. I learn how to be the person that I want to be. Is that a good way of saying? Because it's true. It's absolutely true.
Sure, and I appreciate that very much. I mean, yes, exactly. You express the what you're thankful for and why, and that's exactly how. That's great. That's great.
And I'm thankful to the Life Talk Radio Network for airing this program and all of the wonderful ministries that are involved in broadcasting this to the local areas all across the nation. There is sacrifice going on right now so that you, listener, can hear this program. You don't know this, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of sacrifice. And I'm very thankful to those people who are supporting Life Talk Radio Network, who are supporting the Common Reason ministry, I am just amazed at the giving spirit of the people who are involved, because it's all about these words that Dr. Jennings are speaking getting into your ear. That's what it's all about. That's why all this is done, so Dr. Jennings can talk to you. And I'm thankful for that process, Dr. Jennings.
I am too. I mean, the Life Talk Radio has been a tremendous blessing to us, and we are thankful for Life Talk and the people who work here to make all this possible.
And I know that when I sit down to my Thanksgiving meal with my sweetie, my wife of almost 30 years, I'm just not going to say, thank you, honey, for this wonderful meal. I'm going to say, thank you for fixing this healthy, nutritious, delicious, wonderful food. I'm going to be specific. I'm going to share my thankfulness in a way that she can feel good about that. And I think that's what I've learned on this program today, is our job during the Thanksgiving season all year round is to give other people something to be thankful for. Am I on the right track here?
Exactly. We want to be a blessing to others, and we want to live, though, with a mindset of thankfulness. Really work to change the view, the perspective, so we can identify and daily articulate and experience the things in life that we have to be thankful for.
All right. All right, I'm also thankful for www.comeandreason.com, and you will be too, listener, if you give it a visit. You'll find a blog there by our founder here, Dr. Timothy Jennings, also program archives. You can hear programs, this one again, if you want to share it with someone. They'll be very thankful, I'm sure. There are other resources like Dr. Jennings' books, and also if you are a Facebooker, 500 million of us, if you're a Facebooker, check out Common Reason and become a fan, and there you can read all kinds of good things, including his paraphrase that he puts up every week of some of the scripture lessons that, oh, just good stuff. It's all there at Common Reason on Facebook, commonreason.com on the internet. Well, thank you, Dr. Jennings. I am thankful for you and for your ministry, and until next week, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.